So I'm actually the next speaker. I have a short talk that I'm going to give. It's just about 15 minutes long. And who is here or was here or watched online for the first one? I see familiar faces, right? Okay, so last January, wow, it seems like last year already. In January, we had same themes. We talked about permaculture. And today is permaculture is going to be a big part of what we're talking about. But some of you might have noticed that there was a lot of you noticed. We heard comments and emails from the audience, which is why we're doing this talk. We heard from some folks in the audience that they wanted to hear more about how do veganism and permaculture go together. Now, our event is not vegan. I'm a vegan. Ramiro's not a vegan. John's not a vegan. You know, but there's a lot of people in the audience who are vegan as well, and people who are just interested in how do we have a plant-based permaculture, a plant-based agriculture, right? So most of the speakers who spoke last time, and some of them who are speaking again today, feel strongly, or you know, their view is that you can't have permaculture without animals, and this is kind of a common theme. So I'm going to share some ideas on how that might not be so true, but I don't want to frame this as it's like permaculture against veganic permaculture. It's just these are more ideas, and everybody just take the ones that apply to you. So actually, last year, Miriam and I, we were permaculture certified now, got our PDC last year by one of the speakers speaking later today, Penny Livingston. She was one of our permaculture teachers, and Stephen Brooks from the last time, he's in Costa Rica, he was our teacher as well. So we have been certified to teach permaculture now, and for me, I'm trying to develop a permaculture curriculum that fits for like our people, our audience. So I'm kind of working on a anarchist/freedom-minded permaculture, because it might not seem like it makes a difference, but as Johnny said, when your permaculture teachers are talking about licenses and permits, it's like, I'm not going to do that. So how do we make it fit to our community, right? That's kind of what I'm working on. And again, for me as a vegan, part of that is important. And we are also going to be moving onto the land pretty soon. I did what Johnny was just describing, lived in the city for all of my life, lived in the downtown Houston area doing house shows, really trying to influence the city. And I think that that's valuable, and I'm glad he's still there doing that, and I hope others do that. But I'm ready now to go to the countryside and to build the community that I want, and to build an intentional community. And so as a vegan and a permaculture certified person, I'm trying to see how do these things align. And in our community, we've been talking about that. What is the role that animals are going to play in our particular community? And this is going to look different in all communities. But for us, what it means is we're not going to slaughter any animals on the land. It's not like everybody has to be vegan to be a part of the community. That's not really how we're doing it. There are some vegans. There are some who are meat eaters, some who are vegetarian. But the rule that we all settled on is, okay, well, no slaughtering of animals on the property, right? So if you want to go get meat from elsewhere, we're not going to tell you what you can eat in your own home on your own piece of the property. But that's just something we don't want to bring to the land, right? That's kind of where we settled. And so I've been exploring these ideas further and further and trying to understand what does veganic, is what it's called, veganic permaculture look like. So that's what I'm going to talk about just for a few moments. And as I said, I just got certified in permaculture last year. I do not claim to be an expert, and I'm definitely not an expert on veganic permaculture, but I have some ideas and tips that I want to share with you guys. So first, I'm going to assume that there's some folks in the audience either here or online who are totally unfamiliar with permaculture, and everybody after me is going to give you a nice lowdown on permaculture and growing your food and everything. But generally speaking, permaculture is a design philosophy that is about growing food. It's about building communities. It's about human to human interaction. And specifically, it's a design philosophy that tries to mimic natural systems. So it tries to mimic what you see already happening in nature, to mimic what you see happening in happening in the natural systems that are around us, right? How do we mimic them? Because nature seems to know what it's doing. Anybody think we need to help nature? Nature, maybe we should geoengineer the weather, or we should start messing with the seeds or the plants. Does that sound like a good idea to anybody? Yeah, I didn't think so. It seems like nature has things worked out. So why don't we learn from nature is kind of the permaculture mentality. Let's look at those systems, how they work, and let's try to mimic them as much as possible. And along with permaculture, they talk about three kind of starting principles: care of humans, fair share, and care of the earth. And I think animals are a part of the earth and included. And what is veganism? A lot of different definitions, again, out there, just like for permaculture. But for me, I describe it as the practice of abstaining of the use of animal products, particularly in diet. And essentially, it's the view that animals aren't just another commodity to be used to our human ends, right? And there's levels in there, right? There's some vegans who are what you might, these are like the people who throw paint at you, they yell at you, and you know, they're more militant kind of vegans. That's not personally me. I'm okay to sit with you if you're eating meat, but I know people who would get up and walk away from the table and wouldn't sit there with you. It just, that's their preference, right? And for me, the reason I came to veganism, it isn't from an ethics standpoint. Originally, it was a health standpoint. After abusing my body a lot in my life, I eventually had to turn vegetarian and veganism for health reasons. But one day I looked at my cat, who was my best friend, and realized it's really only that I'm born into this culture that I'm not eating him. If I lived in a different part of the world, he might be my dinner. Somebody else would be eating my best friend. And then I realized, well, I don't want to be eating anybody else's best friend. So maybe I'm eating someone's best friend when I'm eating chicken or a burger or whatever. It was just, it sounds silly, but that's how it just kind of clicked for me. I was like, yeah, I don't want to eat anybody's best friends. I'm going to just leave the animals alone and be friends with them and work with them. So that's veganism. That's permaculture. How do the two come together? Again, most people think that animals are absolutely necessary and integral to permaculture, that without animals, you can't have permaculture, particularly when it comes to things like manure, right? Manure is great for the soil, it's great for the plants, and that's going to come from cows or chickens or what have you, right? So how do you think about manure and taking care of the soil and the plants? Can somebody show this businessman some love right here? This little businessman. And when you're talking about veganic permaculture, so let's start with the manure, right? Typically, people think you have to have animal manure in order for it to work. Well, some of the suggestions I've seen is that you use plant-based fertilizers, right? So there are plant-based fertilizers out there that are chemical-free, that are toxin-free, but they're not coming from animal manure. They're coming from, you know, alternatives. And I will say I've seen a few veganic permaculture farmers that do use animal manure, and I thought this was an interesting idea. So again, there's a spectrum. Some veganic permaculture culturists will say, we don't use any animal products at all. We use all plant-based fertilizers, right? But there are others who say, we're going to use animal manure, but we're only going to get it from animal rescues and from animal sanctuaries, right? Not from animals that have been farmed and have been exploited, right? So there's a difference between, like, you're getting, at least as a vegan, there's a difference between getting manure from a cow that's had this horrible, crappy, abusive life, because you're participating in that chain. Whether you might be like, hey, I didn't abuse the animal, but you took the manure from the animal and then you're using that and bringing that to your property. I think you're still playing a role in that supply chain. Whereas you could say, there's this guy named Jonathan. He's got a really awesome, I think it's just called Veganic Permaculture. He's only on YouTube at the moment, where he talks about how he only uses manure from rescues and from sanctuaries because he wants to make sure if he is going to use animal manure, it's coming from places that our animals are being treated right, they're being taken care of, and they're being respected. And I think that's a cool idea. So again, this would involve permaculture with no animals or byproducts. Again, this is a spectrum. In our community, I can share an experience. My grandmother has a farm in Kentucky. She's grown up on farms, lived on farms her whole life, been growing all her food, taught me so much about food preservation. She has cows, she has chickens, and I spent a couple summers on her farm, you know, and she's like, I need you to go do farm chores. So I'm going out there and I'm like picking up eggs, and I don't really eat eggs as a vegan, but I really had some time to connect to the animals. And it was a lesson for me as well, because the fact of the matter is that these chickens are going to lay their eggs regardless. You can build a coop for them if you want, and they'll go in there because they know that they're protected. If you don't build it, they're going to go hide up in the trees because they're trying to get away from predators. So their natural instinct is to hide and to go up into somewhere where they're safe. So if you build something for them, they'll go in there and they'll be safe. If you don't build it, they're going to go up in the trees. My point is that with or without human intervention, the chickens will lay the eggs. So then when I was on my grandma's farm and my chore was to go pick these eggs from the chickens, I would go into the little house and I would take the eggs and then bring them to my grandma. But I told her, I'm like, grandma, some of these chickens, they're sitting on the eggs. And when I try to grab it, they peck at me. They don't want me. And it's like, dude, she doesn't want me to take her egg. I'm not going to take it. So I'm like, sorry if I don't get all of them. But if the chicken's like not happy with me, she's sending a message to me saying, like, even if it's not going to hatch like she probably wants it to and thinks it's going to, I'm going to wait for her to realize that. And that's just my personal standpoint. I felt like, okay, well, look, these other chickens, they left their eggs. They don't want them. I'll bring them to my grandma. And if I was going to eat eggs, that would be the only situation I would eat eggs. In a farm where I can see the animals running around freely, taken care of. And there are other vegans who would still say, no, I'm not going to participate. And that's just a spectrum. On our land, we do want to use animals. And well, I don't want to say use. We want to live with them. We want them to be integrated into our systems, which is a part of permaculture. But we want to reduce the suffering. Miriam and I want to create like an animal sanctuary. We want to have an animal rescue. We have rats and we want to rescue rats. I know it's kind of weird to some of you. We want to rescue all kinds of animals and we want to live with them and work with them, and they can play a role in the systems. But I think it really is about the way that you approach it. And I like that idea of using manure from places where animals are being well taken care of. Again, a veganic permaculture method includes no artificial poisons or synthetic chemicals. And then I thought this suggestion was interesting. The idea that, you know, because some people will say, well, you need animals. Animals are helpful, like especially here in Mexico, donkeys, they can help haul things. And like, you know, there's a use, a practical use for animals that humans have evolved with. So one veganic permaculturist that I found, they were suggesting that you replace animals with, as they describe it, traction with animals with and their traction force with systems, food system designs that require minimal, like you basically that you don't need the animals to drag things around. Create the food systems in a better way where they work for the humans as well as the animals, because that's what permaculture really is about. You know, a lot of people think, and I'll say even I thought before learning more, that it's just about growing food, but it's so much more than that. It's about designing our lives. It's about the way we interact with each other. It's about the way we interact with the environment, with the plants, with the water, with all the natural food systems. With all the natural food systems, like how does that really work? And how do we rethink the traditional systems, right? Because I don't think anybody here, regardless of diet, thinks that the current food systems around the world are working. Does anybody feel like there's not room for improvement? I mean, whatever your diet, I think we can all see, like, animals are being exploited. Animals are, like, the waste that comes from these food systems, whether vegan or meat eater, is just insane, and it's poisoning the earth. I mean, these are things we need to be able to acknowledge. And unfortunately, topics like this, veganism, diet, and permaculture, have become really, really divisive. And we want to, that's why I wanted to do this talk, because last time we had some people who felt very strongly about like animals are necessary. We also had Dr. Will Tuttle speak, and we were thankful he participated. He came from his really strong vegan perspective, and we want to just kind of balance that out, that you can do permaculture and you can do it in a way that doesn't require the use of animals. That's where I'm going to leave it today, guys. I do want to encourage you to go deeper into this topic. For those of you who are following the Greater Reset Activation Telegram channel, as soon as I end this, I'm going to go post 5 different websites that I've found that can give more details. And it's also farmers who are actually doing this. This is not just theory. There's farmers who've been farming without animals for 25 plus years, and they've got beautiful food for us. So you can make veganic food for us, and you can do veganic permaculture. All right, guys. Thank you for your time for that.
In 2021, the free hearts and minds of the world are standing together in celebration of freedom and community.
The people are waking and organizing. The people are recognizing their own power.
The people of the world are uniting against the Great Reset.
The people are celebrating the Greater Reset.
From May 24th to 28th, join us as we gather online and in person for the Greater Reset. From activation to expansion.
Over 5 days, we will focus on practical solutions for the most pressing issues of our time. Over 30 world-class speakers will share ideas in 5 different themes. May 24th, mind, body, and soul.
May 25th, regenerate the earth.
May 26th, the counter economy.
May 27th, liberating technology.
May 28th, community and relationships. Don't miss out on the next step in the Greater Reset. It's time to get activated.
This is our world,
our way.